What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Bodybuilding Podcast. I am here with Mr. Derek Lunsford, and this is episode number 77. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you? Yeah. We're 2 weeks out.
I know, man. You got the Olympia around the corner, so I want to get you on and see how things are going and ask you a ton of questions because I've seen your career kind of come like full circle, and you're like on your way now, and people have you know, people are talking about you for the winner's circle, so I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the show coming up and how you feel about it.
Yeah, this year is a lot different, man. Just as far as like my mentality and everything, coming off last year, obviously we didn't get what we wanted. We ended up coming in that second place spot again, as we did the year before. We were obviously hoping to take that title last year. So coming off the Olympia last year, I took a step back. You know, it's been a really rough year for a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about last year's Olympia. A lot of people have went through a lot of things with the COVID-19, the pandemic, and things like that. So this has definitely been the most challenging year of my life, without question. And I don't want to dive too deep into it. I just wanted to make it aware. I'm not someone that likes to talk about my personal hardships and things like that. I'm more of the type of person that likes to spread positivity and uplift people and show people the positive side of my life. And so I just wanted to make it aware that, hey, you know, it's been a tough year, but through those challenges is my opportunity, it's our opportunity to become stronger and better because of it. And I was just having a conversation with some other people yesterday, and I kind of just said it and I posted it to my Instagram. I was like, you know, just like under like a bench press or a squat bar, it's like the only way to get those deep cuts as a bodybuilder is to go through some serious poundage, you know, a serious load on your body. So same is true when it comes to the mind, is like when you're going through hardships and a lot is weighing on you. I mean, that's the opportunity for you to recognize that it is the opportunity to become stronger and better. And I think that I've done that this year. And as you've seen, I haven't been as outspoken about the competition and things like that. I've just buried my head and been working. And that was a piece of advice that a friend of mine here was like, dude, people just want to see you put your head down, work, and come back better. And I said, all right, well, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time on this show, about how the strength comes from bodybuilding, comes through the hardships of bodybuilding, whether it be injury or like personal things at home or whatever challenges you go through, that's where you get stronger. But I think people do kind of like to hear some of that. So is there anything you want to touch on? Like, is there anything you can tell me about this year that would have made it harder? Like, was it personal? Was it physical? Was it like
both? I mean, I had a lot of things, man. Like, I don't want to just say that, but like I had three or four very, very, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tough things that really, like, I was like, man, like, I don't want to get into it, man. It's my personal stuff. You know what I mean? But anyway, so that said, a lot of people continue to dwell on the past.
Yeah.
You have to move forward. You have to. And the thing is even last year's Olympia, people still contribute, like, my mindset changed to, oh, he's dwelling on last year's Olympia. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. The night of the Olympia last year, I mean, I should just post it. I have it in my phone. I posted it back then. The night after Olympia, I'm on cardio and I'm back on my regimen. And that's the thing, is that one more thing I want people to realize and know about this year is that it's not dwelling on the past. It is taking those opportunities to become better and stronger and move forward. And also through the process of these struggles, I've learned more about myself, knowing that I don't need someone else to motivate me to go want to be better.
Yeah,
I'm already obsessed with being better, and I'm obsessed with progression in everything I do.
Yeah,
especially bodybuilding.
As a bodybuilder, and you know, you may disagree with this, but I don't think there's anything wrong with dwelling on a previous show. And I think dwelling is looked at as a negative term, but I think having that thought in your mind of what you did at the show and wanting to be better, and letting that fuel you. Some people call it that dwelling. I call it keeping in mind where you were and where you want to be. Like, there's nothing nothing wrong with knowing, like, okay, well, and I want to get into last year, because when I saw you come out, I was like, there's a few questions I have for you that are very pressing. First of all, I want to ask, how the fuck do you get to 212? I don't know how you even, like, when I look at you post photos, I'm like, this guy, and I can't see you being 212 forever. Like, I don't know how, even know how you get there.
I think it goes back to my wrestling days. Like, it's just, actually, let me just say it like this. This is what I believe, and it's, I'm a very deep thinking kind of person.
Yeah.
I just think when people put their mind to something and fully commit, you have to fully commit to something, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, let me just back up and say, like, when it came to sports and especially wrestling in high school, I was terrible. I got my butt kicked. My mom and my grandmother would come watch me, and they would literally shut their eyes as I would be in my match. I would get pinned, and then they would go, okay, is he hurt? Okay, good. You know?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm committing my entire life to wrestling. So I end up being this terrible and whatever kid that sucked at wrestling to end up going to college for – it wasn't a full 4 years scholarship, but I went for a short period of time being a top wrestler, right? You know, yeah. And that – I just believed in myself is what I'm saying. I committed fully to wrestling. I believed in myself. And within 4 years of high school, I went from, you know, getting my butt whipped to being a top wrestler. Same is true about the bodybuilding. As I said – when I committed to bodybuilding, I said, I'm going to see this through until I get to where I want to go. And that is the Olympia title. And that was even back when I was weighing 140, 150 pounds. I believed that if I committed myself that I would get to where I wanted to go. And I'm still in pursuit of becoming a better bodybuilder. And I think I always will. But that's another thing is that this year is I decided I'm committing fully to who I want to be in life. Everything that I want to be, I want to commit fully. So my relationship with God, number one, right? Bodybuilding, I never took a step back in terms of, oh, am I questioning whether this is my, no, never. I mean, I'm a bodybuilder until the day I die. Yeah. So I'm, I just had to take a step back in terms of just let's just hold up here and see where my life's at. You know, obviously I live in a house now versus last year I was in an apartment. I'm engaged with my fiance. Just a lot of commitment this year to, like, this is who I'm going to be. This is the character I'm going to build. And this is just how I want to live my life. I think if more people committed to what they wanted to do and what they love to do and they're passionate about, they'll be very successful at whatever that is.
Yeah. And that's something I talk about on the show all the time, but the beauty of bodybuilding is the commitment it takes to achieve something. You can't do this sport unless you're committed. You can't be part of this sport unless
you're
committed.
Man.
But
you have to love it, right? You have to, has to, like, be you. You can't just be like, well, I want to win a show. I mean, you can, and you might be successful, but, like, you have to really, like, I know every day I wake up, I'm going to gym. Like, I just, like, that is who I am, what I do, right? And I'm going to put all the pieces together to be the best I can be.
So. Yeah, if you want to be at the level you're at, you have to live, you know, eat, sleep, breathe it. But I got to go back. I have to go back to the question. So,
all right, I got a lot of the stuff I wanted to get out there.
No, I know.
Now I'll let you take over. Sorry for taking over your podcast.
No, it's okay. It's all yours, man. This is your time. But I want to ask you this. What do you weigh right now? Can you tell me or no? Like, is that a secret?
We'll be 212.
Okay, you'll be 212. But I go back to the same question because you talk about your wrestling days and making weight, but that's a lot of cutting water and it doesn't really matter how you look. In bodybuilding,
right.
I just don't know how you go from that size you are to 212 without looking stringy. Like, a lot of guys, when they do that, they look stringy or they look like they just can't hold their fullness. So is there something special that you guys are doing, or is it, like, what is it?
Every year has been different. Like, this year has been actually truthfully, like, the best I've felt. Like, I said that last year, but nah, I felt pretty run down the entire year. This year has been very, very smooth. We just took a much slower approach. And just, I don't know, man, like, I feel like I finally learned how to be a real professional bodybuilder. And then honestly, man, I'm not just like, blowing smoke up here or nothing like that, but like watching guys like you and other veterans who've been around this for many, many years, it's like, why let me just be real.
Okay.
Here. I did a muscle and strength video. They came down and videoed me a few weeks ago, about 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
It just got posted today. In there I talk a little bit about how I used to complain. I used to like be like, you know, this is hard, man. Like, people don't understand what it's like to be a bodybuilder, especially at the top level and this and that. And finally I'm like, dude, why are you like, what's wrong with you? Why are you complaining? Like, why when you come off of a show, do you enjoy doing the cardio and you do, you train hard and this and that, but like leading into the show, like, you're complaining. Why? Like, I mean, it's a little bit, it's that pressure. And yeah, it was, the mental toughness and the physical toughness. And I was just like, you know what? That's why I said this year I'm committing to, there's no complaining. Yeah. I love what I do. And why can't I just embrace all of it? So it's really actually has blown my mind. I'm not going to lie, how much of a radical change I've had in my mindset as far as like being this, whiny, bodybuilder to it's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time. Well, like you know what I mean?
I had that with a friend of mine. We were out one night, or I think we were finishing up at the gym, and I said, man, I got to go tan and I got to do this and I got to do that. And I was complaining about something. I was getting ready for a show. And he goes, well, I'll go tanning for you, but if you got to go work my fucking 8-hour shift. I was like, kind of put it in perspective. I'm like, you know what? We're bitching about stuff that like people would love to be doing.
I'll tell you one thing that hit home. So I've been going to a different gym this year. Not that, you know, I was training in my 40 the last couple of years. Great gym. I've been back there. I was just over there a couple of weeks ago, seen Ben and a couple others. But I've been training at a couple other different gyms. And this one is Suncoast Fitness in St. Yeah. Petersburg, yeah. About an hour away. I drive over there. And a lot older kind of people. It's kind of like takes you back to the 70s bodybuilding because these guys are, you know, but – there was one day I seen this guy, I kept seeing him over and over and over. And finally I just was like, you know what? This 91-year-old guy, I was like, I have to go up to him and say something. So he's coming out. He's barely like kind of walking to his car. And I said, hey, I was like, I just want to say, man, like, I admire the heck out of what you're doing. Like, I see the consistency that you're putting in. Obviously your goals is just to be as healthy as possible and you know, and whatever. I just had a nice little conversation with him, and he looks at me and just kind of just stares at me, and almost with a tear in his eye, he said, "I'm 91 years old, and this is not easy." And said it just like that, and I was like, "Holy cow!" Like, I'm 27. Yeah. I'm a professional bodybuilder doing something I love to do, and it is a dream for many people. And why in the world am I complaining about anything that I'm doing? Of this, like, from here on out, I'm embracing all of this. Yeah. And so I was like, man, from here on out, like, this 91-year-old guy who's barely able to make it up each step, you know, it's like he's in here every single day busting. He goes, it's not easy. I'm 91, man. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Puts it in perspective for sure. What, I want to ask you, I did watch that Muscle and Strength video. I noticed you're very regimented. Yeah. And I want to ask you,
wasn't like that before.
That's what I was going to get at, is you turned pro at the USA and then you just immediately won a show and you've done very well at the Olympia. So was the beginning where you kind of like lackadaisical in your approach, or were you always this regimented, or has it increased steadily over the course of like the last 3, 4, 5 years?
I always feel like I've been fully committed here, but like I was weak here also. A lot of it.
Explain how.
Like I said, just the complaining. Just each year I've gotten like I've wanted it more.
Yeah.
Right? Like I've wanted to be truly the best of my ability more and more each year. Like the first year I competed, I didn't know what I was doing. Nobody knows what they're getting themselves into when they first do a show. I mean,
are you talking about your very first show, or are you talking about your first pro show? What was your very first show?
2015, I did the NPC Indianapolis Championships. Okay. I was a welterweight. I wasn't really – I could have been like a lightweight probably.
Yeah.
I was 150-something pounds. Ended up winning junior nationals my class that year. And then the next year I became middleweight. That was 2016. 2017, when everybody kind of started taking notice.
What happened what happened 2016?
Yeah, so basically just each year, like the first year it was like I'm so tired and obviously, and I'm hungry, and more like the hunger. I want to eat food, right? I don't know, like this is hard, right? And then the next year I was like, all right, time to step it up. Like, we're going to be a pro and this and that. And So I don't know, like the second year I become a little bit tougher. I would say I became a lot tougher from the first year to the second year because I was ready. I knew what I was going to get myself into, but I still wanted to have the cheat meals or would like add in extra like sauces and just little things that you would do. Or mainly the biggest thing I think I was doing was I was running on E with my energy levels. So I was throwing in like extra coffee. Yeah. Extra like fat burners and things like that to keep me going. Whereas now it's like, look, there's a time to get excited and have that energy and go work hard. And there's a time to go and just relax. Yeah. And right now would normally be like my relaxing time. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, this is just us having a conversation. So yeah, I mean, so after this, I'll have another meal. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to wake up, eat one more meal. I'm going to go train to my fullest, empty the tank, and then eat, rest, eat, cardio, eat, pose, rest, wake up, do it again. I mean, it's literally every couple hours I'm working and then I'm resting. I'm working, I'm resting.
So what did you tighten up? Is it just sort of the removal of the sauces and the removal of complaint? I mean, aside from the complaining, actual things you were doing.
Well, it starts here. It for me at least it started here. Like I said, fully, that's why I said in the beginning, fully committing and fully embracing, like, this is what I want and I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with getting better and I expect nothing less from myself because I want to, not because I need to, not because I need to go for anyone else or any other reason other than I just want to do this myself. Yeah. And that's what I was saying that I learned through this process of all these struggles and this year and this and that is that I just love what I do and I want to keep doing it. I want to be the best I possibly can be at it because that's why I started. I mean, I had to literally think about why I started and I went back to that and I go, okay, you're going to have the same feeling that you, and not because like, oh, you're going to, it's like, I just have that feeling of when I start, I think I hit the reset button. Yeah. But with a tougher, more experienced mentality of we're coming for that Olympia title.
Yeah. What did you said you started when you started bodybuilding, you're 150 pounds.
Now, yeah, well, actually, let me say this. This is actually kind of cool. I wrestled 112.
Jesus.
I wrestled 112.
So you've put on like 150 pounds. Like, I'm like, because I could tell in the off season you must walk around over 250. So I'm thinking to myself, how do you put on, how does the average guy watching this podcast go, I want to put on 100 pounds. How do I put on 100 pounds and still look good? Not like a slob, not fat, not gross, still develop a really nice physique. You know what I mean? Like, what were the steps? Like, how do you even look at the Olympia stage when you're 150 pounds and say, I want to get there? Like, what thought process took you there?
Well, had I not wrestled, I would have not, but I don't know that I would have that mentality. I just knew that in 3 to 5, this is another belief of mine. I go off, like I said, I'm a deep thinker. I go off by a lot of beliefs and things like that. I truly believe that if anybody wants to be successful or like, let's just say great, like I'm not saying legendary, but like, let's say you want to be top echelon of what you're doing,
yeah,
business or anything. I think anybody can be great at something in 3 to 5 years.
Okay. I can believe.
Break it down. I mean, look at schooling. Every schooling, grade school, middle school, high school, college, grad school, whatever, 3 to 5 years, pretty much every program.
Well, I mean, there is some caveats to it, but I do understand what you're saying.
But if you don't have that belief and that commitment and that, you know, it takes everything. It takes the discipline, the work and the sacrifice with the discipline, but it also takes that belief and that commitment and that just, I'm going to not stop until I see it through. That's what I was saying was that like with wrestling, I did it with wrestling where I said, I'm just going to get my butt whooped until I become the best.
Yeah.
Well, I never was the best at wrestling. I decided to take a different route. I went to school and got a degree in business, but I went to decide to be a bodybuilder. And I said, okay, if I commit myself, I believe in 3 to 5 years, this is where I'll be. I can tell you exactly what I said back then. And it's pretty ironic, but,
what was that?
To be 100% like exact. I said in 2014, this is before I competed. I told my friend, I said, by 2018, I want to be at the Olympia, and by 2020, I think I can win the Olympia.
And you said that before you even started bodybuilding.
I never competed.
So you just You just I had that belief.
I didn't even know what competing or dieting was like. Yeah. I said, if I commit myself fully to this, I believe in myself. And I had no idea about genetics. I had no idea about training. I just felt like if I had the right guidance and I put the work in, I could get there. And I think that there are a tremendous amount of people that are in the same boat as I was. I just don't think they believe in themselves, or they don't have the right guidance, or what have you, or they just don't see it through. That's mainly the reason they can get started and they don't want to see it through, or it's tough or this and that. But you really have to see it through and follow through.
That's the point I was actually going to get at, was quite a few people that say those things. Like I've heard tons of kids come up to me like, I'm going to be at the Olympia one day, or I'm going to be a pro one day, or whatever.
Right.
Was there any speed bumps along the way where you doubted yourself, or were you always able to push through any of those like minefields that might've held you back?
You know, if I didn't have the thought of there's a genetic component to this or any other variable as far as that it's out of my control.
Yeah.
All I knew is what I was in control of. And I believe that, well, I already knew I was going to go to the gym. I was going to the gym every day anyway. I just wanted to learn how to get better at it. And I felt like if I could maximize my efforts on a daily basis and chain those days together over a few years, I mean, who else is going to be that disciplined and consistent? I always believe somebody's got to be the best. And if I'm the most disciplined and consistent, I think I can be the best. And now looking back and seeing the progress and knowing what I know about bodybuilding with genetic components and this and that, like, and learning your body and whatnot, I believe I have all the tools, to be the best and come away with that 212 Olympia title, this year.
There was never a point along the way where you were like, damn, I'm maybe not cut out for this. Did you ever have those moments?
Well, yeah, not recently, but
I mean, like when you're starting out, I mean, like the first couple of years.
Yeah, after the first year, I'll be honest, after Junior Nationals, which was 2 weeks after my first show, I did Junior Nationals, my second show, and I'm sitting there, I'm eating pizza, and this is funny, actually, I was eating pizza to the point where, like, all the blood went to my stomach, and I was, like, shivering, I'm like, oh my God, I had to go, do you know the Hyatt Regency, whatever, at Junior Nationals? I was like, right now, I have to go upstairs and go to my room. I am freezing.
Are you serious?
So I bundled up like this. Yeah. Next day, I woke up. My face was like,
"Oh my God!"
So
yeah,
that's
the beauty of the first show, right? Everybody's gone through that. Yeah.
Yeah, Giordano's pizza. Giordano's.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's great until you have it the night of your show.
Yeah, exactly. So,
was what I was saying. Was like that night, I was like, "Man, guys," I said, this was the toughest thing I've ever done. Even wrestling and all that, I was like, this might actually be it. And they were like, what? I go, man, I don't know. This is tough, guys. This takes a lot away from my life as far as like just everything, man, you know? Yeah. And then I gave myself a couple of days and I was like, there ain't no way I'm quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. We've all been there for sure. But you know what? That actually brings up a good point. Other people that play other sports always look at bodybuilders and think that's easy and you guys don't do anything. You're just training and eating, whatever. And you know what? It's nice that you've done wrestling. Cause I can ask you why after that show, did you think it was harder than wrestling? Because when I look at wrestlers, I'm like, that's gotta be the hardest shit to do possible. But you saw it a different way. And I want to know is there something you can point to that is like, this is why it was harder. This is what made me feel that way.
Yeah, because it's both mentally and physically tough, both of them, they're almost opposite in a way. Yeah. Because with bodybuilding, it's a process and you have to be consistent and it's over a long duration, long period of time. And it just becomes mentally and physically taxing because of that. And it increasingly gets tougher and tougher because you get, you know, lower and lower energy. And it's just, you know, but when it comes to wrestling, yeah, I had to be on a diet. I had to make weight. But like you said earlier, I could go run it off. I mean, I was cutting 7 to 10 pounds in a few hours and that was no problem. I never had a problem with working very hard in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and just really kicking my own ass, you know what I mean? Excuse my language, but like, kicking my butt at everything, you know, whether it be the cutting the weight or the wrestling or whatever, never mind going through all that stuff. Yeah. But when it comes to having to be consistent over, you know, half a year, that's draining, man. And so I just kind of put the two and two together and was like, you know, they're both equally tough.
Yeah.
Or in their own right, but they are different animals.
For sure. Where does the work ethic come from, man? Because the amount of regiment, like the regiment you go through and how diligent you seem is impressive. And then the work ethic too. I mean, you look like you put everything you have into every workout, you're definitely like 100% focused. I know other bodybuilders kind of waver here and there, but you seem like there's nothing else that matters. Where does that work ethic and focus come from?
You know, I've tried to do better about that this year. Even though that sounds great, I've actually tried to put a little bit more effort into like my fiance and my normal family. But you're absolutely right, is that they'll tell you, like, I don't break ever, like, ever. I'm going to get real with you again. And this is something that I don't share a lot because I love the person that said this to me, and I won't say who it was, but there were things that were said to me and growing up that resonated with me a lot, obviously. Mm. That being said, I was told I was worthless. Mm. You'll never make anything of yourself. I would never hire you. Like, you're lazy, all this stuff. And I just never felt like I was like the cool kid in school. I was never the most talented on the basketball. I love basketball at the time, or any sports that I ever did. I was never good at them, man. I was always felt like I worked the hardest because the coach was like, oh, whoever works the hardest is going to get the most playing time, which is total load of crap, you know? And so I always just felt like I was getting gypped because I did work the hardest. I just wasn't the most talented. And then I'm you know, being told by some very important people in my life, that you're worthless and make you think yourself and things like that. And don't get me wrong, man, I had a great upbringing. Like you know, but there was just some things here that like really stuck with me. I'm like, all right, I'll show you. And one thing that, maybe got that ego going was, Muhammad Ali's quotes. I'll show you how great I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
That stuck with me. And until I like got to where I am kind of today, or let's say last year, year before. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was like, see, I'll show you how great I am. And then that's when it took it from you love bodybuilding and you're doing this for the right reasons. Like, I've always felt like this has been my purpose to like, you know what I mean? I'll just skip that. I always felt like this is my, I don't want to get too.
It's okay, man. It's okay, man. Like talk. That, but. Talk it out, dude.
Well, I mean, like, I'm a very spiritual guy, you know, like my relationship with God is very, very important. It's number one in my life. So I feel like he's put me on earth as this is my calling, not my purpose to be a bodybuilder, my calling to be a bodybuilder. So I can fulfill my purpose, which, you know, I think changes. And I think I'm still trying to figure that out. And and obviously that is bringing people closer to Christ and building a community of people that are going to uplift each other. And that's where I started. And like I said, being a fan of guys like you or any of my competitors now, I'm still a fan of, right? I'm still like these guys, but and I can get inspired by them. And I just don't need to have people tell me, oh, Derek, you're so great or you're so much better than this guy. I just want to be the best I can be, and I want to go back to that mindset and draw inspiration from, hey, this guy has a great body part, or this guy is pushing me to have this level of whatever size, conditioning, shape, proportions, whatever. Like, I can draw inspiration from my competitors and the guys that are in the sport that are the best, or among the best. It's like, I just recognized that this year. And I stopped with the whole, I'll show you how great I am. And it's more just, I just want to be as great as I can be.
Is that that's obviously growth as a person. Cause I think like you, I had a great childhood. But it's funny how like small comments can just resonate, and it can come from weird people. Like sometimes
in the heat of a moment too. And I said this to this person a couple times. I said, I want to thank you for saying this stuff to me.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I knew they knew.
Yeah.
They remembered, but they was like, I don't know. I'm like,
oh, you mean you saw them after and you were like, hey,
This is a family member. Like,
okay,
a
okay,
very
okay,
close,
okay.
Like, yeah.
That's
like,
happened. The same thing happened to me. You listen, I got my, and I'll say who it is, my oldest brother, who now I'm in business with. Like, he's part owner of the company. When I started bodybuilding, he was like, "You're not going to make it, man. Nobody makes money in bodybuilding. Nobody makes it in bodybuilding. There's thousands of bodybuilders out there. You're not going to blah, 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 blah." And it stuck. It just sticks. And he didn't say it maliciously. Like, he wasn't being mean. He wasn't like, but it just, these things just resonate with you. And for me, I use it as fuel in the gym, man.
Yeah.
That shit to me, like, every time I feel lazy, that's what I hear.
And see, that's what I'm saying, is I had many days like that where I would think about, I would think about these things that were being said to me and things like, you know, and the way people perceive me. And so I would just, like you said, I would use it as fuel as well. But I think it drove me to, I just was doing it out of anger. I actually was talking, I hope he's okay with me saying this, but I don't know that he really cares. Ben Pekulski and I, we talked the other day when I went to MI40 and kind of just talking about the difference with me this year now versus the last couple of years when I was training there with him and stuff. He just kind of said, he's like, "Man, you were training out of anger." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, like of course I wanted to win and I wanted to beat everybody, but I would come in and I would just be angry, man." Like, you know, and now it's not any easier. Matter of fact, mm-hmm. Every day, me, my fiance, my coach, we're all like, "Dude, you're killing it this year compared to any other year." But I just think it's just, it had to be here.
Yeah. It's a different motivation for you now. So what do you think it is that lets you grow out of that anger? Is it because you've become successful and you're like, "Okay, I can leave that behind now and I can do this for myself"? Or is something else the reason you can just drop that shit? Because I don't think it's a matter of just telling yourself to drop it. I think something had to have happened in your life where you're like, right? So what do you think it was that gave you that?
Well, it was a combination of things. Like I said, like, I went through a lot of things this year and I don't actually want
to
talk about.
We don't have
about
to get into them, yeah.
There's two that were quite significant that I absolutely don't want to talk about.
That's fine.
Just because it's like, that's my own.
It's okay. Yeah, no, that's fine.
But as far as like the Olympia and stuff like that, yeah, dude, that was clearly humbling for me. Having all that hype and then like that kick in the stomach.
Yeah.
And then everybody saying, "Oh, you're the biggest disappointment," when, you know, when I was like, "Man, like, I put everything on the line for this." Like, everything on the line. Like, I sacrificed time away from my family and all the efforts that bodybuilding, you know. So anyway, I kind of went back to the whole, like, still like, for me, like, looking.
Yeah.
And then now, I don't know, man, I just kind of, that was when I said, okay, clearly this mindset's not, well, I had to ask myself, is this the mindset that I want to have? Do I want to have my career to where I'm solely a competitor and it's me versus everybody? And I thought, I was like, no, not really. I actually want to, like, get to know people on a friendly level. Like, that's who I am. That's how I got in the sport. Like, I've talked to other pro bodybuilders before. I won't say who, but top level, like, you know, possible legend.
Yeah.
I didn't get in the sport to make friends. I said, well, I did, like, you know, I actually did. Like, I want to meet people. I want to build this community. So, I went back to that and I just thought, you know, I said, why can't I do that? Why can't I have the mentality of building this community and being together and growing this sport as we grow ourselves, because it is just really about ourselves and refining ourselves physically and mentally, becoming better. So if we can do that and build each other up in the process, we're going to make bodybuilding just that much better.
I do understand the flip side of it though. I do understand when you're a fierce competitor, it's hard to be friends with the guys you're competing against. So I do understand that thought process too. I want to go back
one
to
one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, one more thing.
No, go ahead.
I also got challenged too, and I don't think he meant to challenge me, but MJ from Gasp, he just kind of, we had a sit down dinner one evening, and he said, I just don't think somebody can radically change their mind in just like 5 minutes. And I actually looked at him and I go, well, I do. I believe I can. Like, I really firmly believe if you want to, like, if right now I wanted to just be like, all right, cool, I'm committing to this right here.
Yeah.
That would be me. I would drop it right then and there. That would be my commitment to you. And there we go. And yeah. I don't know. And I did that with my mindset. And then I've thought about that week after week. And I called him, Jay, the other day, and I was like, hey man, just want to let you know, appreciate that talk, because you kind of challenged me. I don't know if you actually realized that you did, but you helped me when there was times where I wanted to backtrack. And he's like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah. I want to go back to last year to the Olympia, because I remember watching the show thinking, this guy's the guy. Like, everybody was like, and there was a lot of hype. Everybody was like, this guy's going to take Flex Lewis's place. He's the heir apparent, blah, blah, blah. What happened? Where did the slip happen? Because you came in a little softer than you wanted to, obviously. So where was the mishap?
Yeah. So I'm going to dive a little bit deeper, not like deeper, but like there was things that each year has been different in prep, right? Mm-hmm. Each year leading up to the show, I felt like we were completely on point. And then I'll be honest, like, we wanted to come in fuller and bigger and rounder. We were going for the size and the shape and all that, over the conditioning, when I should have, like, I told James that in the beginning, because the year before I felt like I was flat. I didn't like how I looked as much in 2018.
Yeah.
That still is kind of my least favorite look. Not so much prejudging last year. Finals last year was better than the year, but yeah. So anyway, when I was backstage, man, I just, like, I don't know, man. I felt like I needed to fill out a little bit more or something. And so I remember that I had a couple gummies that was given to me from one of the competitors, like a Swedish fish. Yeah. I had like a handful of those, and I took a sip of water. And when I did that, man, I just knew right away. I was like,
But that seems like too small a thing to ruin your condition. Could it have been stress? So you've stressed yourself out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was just one small component. I mean, I'm not saying I had like that. It was
a little sip,
but if little things like that are unacceptable to me, though.
Okay, I know
and,
that.
And so, but let me say, like, go backwards. Yeah, you're right. The night before, I didn't have like an hour's sleep.
Well,
I slept like 4 hours the entire weekend.
Sorry to interrupt you. The thing I want to touch on is the pressure of it, because this is kind of something I go back to all the time on this podcast, because I try and get the fans to understand that there's way more in it than just the X's and O's, and that especially at your level with the hype that you had going into that show, could the pressure have played a part in the way you showed up?
No, I actually didn't feel it up here. Like, I didn't feel any pressure at all until like literally backstage right before I walked on.
Yeah.
So there was no pressure until right then and there. And to be honest with you, I mean, we don't know until we get there, but I feel quite locked in from here on out. Like, my entire, I don't see myself the same, but I think it was a combo of a lot of things. We were sure we could have been tighter coming into that week. There was a few things during the week that we, some people said, maybe you could have done this earlier in the week differently, or maybe like the night before the show. But yeah, I didn't have any rest. I was up on my phone that night before because I couldn't sleep. I tried to take a sleep aid and it didn't even work. Literally, like, I don't know, man. When it comes down to it, we can say it was this variable, that variable, or the other, but I firmly believe it just wasn't meant to be last year.
Yeah, that's true. I want to show everybody what you look like now, because you're looking absolutely nuts. So I have to show people. Anybody who doesn't follow Derek Lunsford _ is his Instagram. Check him out there. But there was a back video you posted. Well, first of all, this is nuts. Like, this is crazy, man. I mean, what is it? How many weeks out was this? This is a week ago. So you're 3 weeks out?
I think that was 4 weeks out, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. So, but there was I think it was this back photo I was looking for, or video. What changed? Yeah. You seem to be bigger than last year, so I'm still even more confused about how you're going to make 212.
I don't know that, you know, I would love to say, yeah, I'm bigger. I think I have put on a little bit of tissue, but I think what you're seeing is I just noticed that so much more density and muscle maturity this year.
Yeah, that's true too. I do see that.
Like I'm a lot harder upper, like, you know what I mean? And
so would you attribute that to just another year of hard training? Is there something you guys did differently this year?
Yeah, definitely hard training, but I've been training different. You know, I went kind of back to the old school style, like doing, you know, heavier deadlifts and just I don't know, man, just having fun in the gym again and just pushing myself every day, you know?
Can I ask you a question about Ben's training? Because, you know, Ben is very cerebral and his training is very specific. And I know you were working with him for a couple of years, and I'm not asking you to say anything was wrong with it, but no. Was it, do you feel like, because now that you said that you've gone back to kind of your fun style, was the style you were doing maybe a little bit overthinking, or was it just too much and you need to?
That's what it was. It wasn't wrong, I don't think, in terms of, well, I think there were times I could have, you know, picked up the pace, like the tempo and things like that, or maybe added some weight, done some things a little different. But look, at the end of the day, nobody's going to know your body better than you as far as training, nutrition, or anything. So the way I see it, man, especially training, you need to first love what you're doing because you're going to work much harder at it. But yeah, I think I was just overthinking each rep. Like each rep had to be so perfect. Not because I don't know, he demanded excellence. That's what he talks about. And I think it's great. Right? And he definitely made me better. There's no question. I even made a post about that the other day.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I'm thankful that I went through everything. I listened to him for the training. And I still apply a lot of it, you know.
Well, I was going to say,
I think there's a time and place. I think there's times where if I just want to let loose and go lift and have a great time, I mean, those are days that, you know, are important that you don't go well. Yeah. You just need to make sure that you're doing this slower tempo. Like, and it's never like I'm not saying like he had me do that every single day all the time, but I just think there was times where I could have been like, all right, let me just go and have fun here.
Grip today. And rip. Yeah. Yeah. There is definitely a noticeable change from when you worked with Ben. So I do know what he did helped you.
Well, just so we know, I've always had my same coach, James Brown, JV Prep.
Okay.
But Ben was doing my training for 2018 Olympia.
Yeah. 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 I think it's important too. What you said is you got to have fun doing what you're doing or you're not going to do it. I can't. And somebody asked me that. They're like, somebody said to me, do you think Branch Warren would have been a better bodybuilder if he trained like Ben?
Yeah. No, I watched that podcast. I was actually, I figured we should talk about it.
Yeah. And I was like, I think you have to enjoy what you're doing. I don't think Branch could have done that. So anyway, I don't want to keep you. I know you got to go. So I just want to ask you one last thing. I want to ask you about your fiance. You've been with your wife, for a long time. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Nearly 10 years now, man.
Wow. What are you waiting for? How long are you waiting to get married?
Well, she, like at this year's Olympia and the pandemic, right? So, but she's finishing up her doctor of physical therapy grad school. Yeah. So she's got like her finals Friday, mm-hmm. and then she has like two clinicals like that are quick in the spring. Yeah. And then she's done. We have been renovating this house. We've been doing some DIY projects she's kind of taking the lead.
Yeah.
She's awesome, man. She's probably the biggest reason why I'm able to do what I'm doing. She has supported me so much, man. And from a distance, a lot of it too. She's got her own stuff going on, but her and her family have been nothing but love and a blessing in my life, man. So yeah, man.
Your face kind of lit up when I brought her up. So is that like, has it always been the way like you guys just met and it's been perfect since or?
Never perfect, man.
That's why I asked you.
It's always, every relationship's a struggle, no matter if it's a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or if it's friends or what, business. Yeah. Every relationship takes work, man. And that's why I told you is that with bodybuilding, you're right. We said it earlier. I am locked in 24/7. Like, it's hard for me to even give a second of a thought away from bodybuilding. But I've really been a lot more conscious of living a normal life through the process of bodybuilding, and which has actually really helped my bodybuilding.
Really?
Yeah. Just my downtime.
Yeah. What are
like
some,
when I'm going to the gym and I'm focused, I'm focused, but like when I'm my downtime, you know, doing this little project, like we just looked at a granite countertop to make this island today, like just little things like that we can do as like husband, wife, and just living a normal life while I'm prepping for Olympia. Oh yeah. I'm prepping for Olympia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's funny you brought that up because people are going to bug me now because I had a podcast about balance in life. And I said, if you want to be the best at something, you can't have any balance. You have to be focused. And
there's like time windows, right? Like, yeah. Like if I told her, I was like, hey, I don't want to go look at this countertop right now. And, yeah. And I'm not like out and about just like,
no, I get it.
Just go first. It's like literally like I'll wait in the car while you like, or like, I'll go in here and stand and you talk to them and I'll just say yes or no. Whether
you're like, we have an hour.
No, that's what I'm like. I got to get back to,
that's how I am. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't consider that balance. That's like, to me, I'm like, you're still.
To me,
like,
that's balanced because before I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me for 6 months.
See, to me, if I'm giving my wife a time window, I feel like it still all revolves around bodybuilding. And that's
why. That's how crazy I've been, though.
Because I feel really guilty, right? Like, my wife will be like, even in the off season sometimes, be like, can we go Christmas shopping? I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but I got to be back in like 2 hours.
So. So no, I'm the same way, but I'm trying to like do better about it. But at the end of the day, she and I both know, like, for example, we talk about this a lot and I'm thankful that she has her goals too, is that she'll tell me, she's like, Derek, you keep trying to like say, hey, look at this. Or what do you think? Like, she keep trying to distract me and I'm in class right now, or I'm trying to study. I say, oh, just remind me, just tell me. Cause sometimes I forget that you're going through school. Just like I'm prepping. Sometimes she doesn't remember, like, oh yeah, you're prepping for even though like it should be obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're just living together and she'll forget, and I'll be like, hey, just let me do what I need to do right now. Love you, you know, I love you. So it's that communication, that understanding, and every year we get better, man.
Mm-hmm. Last question before you go, because I definitely kept you over.
It's all good.
How have you been able to do so well? Because you're living in a beautiful home and you have a nice car and like all these things. So what is it? Is it just sponsorship, or do you do other things, or like, you know, do you coach? Like, how is, because people wonder, they're always asking those questions.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I've been very blessed with sponsorships. They've definitely helped me out. And I want to be doing more content like YouTube. I'm in the process of trying to get that up and rolling.
So
I've coached a lot of people over the years, but I took a step back the last couple of years, and I really have only had a handful of people the last couple of years, just so I could focus on myself. And especially since I did have the sponsorships and stuff. But that's what I'm interested in, is that just doing more with these companies and stuff, that way we can grow it all together. Like everybody wins in that scenario, right? Like, like I obviously win, but at the same time, and the business wins too, but the fans win too. They get more content and they get knowledge about the right products and things like that. But, I put my name behind these, right? Yeah. So I have to stand behind them too. And the people that, and the thing is, I never want someone to not trust me. Yeah. That's number one. Like, loyalty, trust, and that kind of character is very, very important to me. So, I've been very blessed. Universal Nutrition Animal had sponsored me since right before I turned pro in 2017. I have Gasp and Better Bodies, Protan and Icon Meals, a couple others that have.
So basically, for those of you listening, if you want to live a good life, you have to be the best in the world and get really good sponsorships. That's pretty much how it works. Is there anything you want to say kind of as a final note, or anybody you want to thank kind of before we head off?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for bringing me on, reaching out to me. Yeah. I want to thank my coach for sure, James Brown, JB Prep. He's been in my corner from day one. Shout out to him. My fiance, we just talked about, has been by my side for nearly a decade. My family and friends who have been there. I just mentioned the sponsors that I've had: Gasp, Animal, Icon Meals, Protan, CJ's, Elite Suits. I want to thank, this is the biggest thank you of them all: Jake Wood, Dan Solomon, IBB Pro League, the whole entire Mr. Olympia. It is unreal that we are actually having the Mr. Olympia this year, an actual season.
I know.
Think
I
about
know.
It. We actually had a season.
I know. It's crazy.
How many other sporting events had a season this year?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it was really awesome that Tim Gardner was able to kick it off here in Tampa. And then with all the craziness, they moved the Mr. Olympia from Las Vegas to Orlando.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to Dan Solomon, Tarek and Tamara Gandhi, Jake Wood, Tim Gardner, Jim Mannion, Steve Weinberger, Tyler Mannion, everyone. Yeah. Everyone is – I don't know as an athlete what goes on behind the scenes. I just know they bust their butt.
Yeah.
And they provide us with a platform to do what we love and to promote what we love and we're passionate about. So huge shout out to all of them.
Okay.
And, of course, hey, one more thing, too. This is actually really good water. You see?
Does it taste different than other water?
Nah, I was buying so much water until they sent me a.
They sponsor you now? That's cool.
Well, they sponsor all the Olympic competitors, so I'm not special or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, will you come on another time in the off season when you have a little more time and we can discuss the X's and O's? Because guys want to know why you look like this, so we got to discuss some of the more surface stuff like diet, training, all that kind of shit. Cool?
I'll definitely come back on.
All right, brother. Good luck at the Olympia, man. I hope you crush it. And we'll all look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man.
We'll see you soon. Okay, man. Bye-bye.